Go away.
Get up. Time to go.
Leave me alone.
Leah, I need you to get up. I need you. You promised me.
Too tired.
Leah, get up!
Justin?
We are Si and Sophie. This is Coastal News, a home and away podcast, your weekly episode companion podcast for your favourite Aussie soap.
Well, hello, stranger.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Season.
Excited.
What's this? What are we doing?
I know. I've forgotten how to do this, actually. You might have to bear with me because I don't know how to talk anymore after a week off of doing nothing. It's great, but yeah, struggle.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we'll manage talking, especially about home and away. How have you been? Been all right?
Yeah, all good. Oh, I really enjoyed like the time off work, but I have genuinely missed homers and I've missed the routine. I've missed you. Miss talking about it, miss tweeting about it. Yeah, what about you?
Same, I've missed you. I've been mithering you anyway. Channel 5 obviously great with a load of home old ones.
Yes.
So that's kept busy. I feel like I've not really had a pod break, even though we've not recorded. Because of, you know, of all that and sort of keeping in touch on the social medias, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been good and I feel, you know, new year, new season. Ready and raring to go, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I've made a list of life events that happened since we were last on air, as they say.
Have you?
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Feel free to add in any. Yeah.
Okay.
First one's yours anyway. You went to Dublin.
I went to Dublin. First time in Ireland. Loved it. Will want to go back. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Save up. How much for a glass of vino or something?
We were told not to go to all the touristy places and buy alcohol because it was a waste of money. So we got given like places that we thought might interest us that were slightly more in our budget. So we didn't get ripped off, thankfully. But it was good. It was really good.
And you survived the trip. The journey.
Absolutely. You know, I don't like flying, and it was thankfully a very short flight, but the flight out there was just hen party chaos. I thought people were going to get arrested when we landed. It was that bad.
Oh, really?
It was so bad. They just couldn't get them to sit in their seats. This girl was like walking up and down the aisle. Then next minute, she was crawling up and down the aisle, and she was all over the place. Oh, my God. And that was like midday, you know. We've not even got to Dublin yet, and it was only a 40-minute flight. And I just turned to Beth on the flight, and I was like, I think some people are going to get arrested when we land in Dublin because this is really bad. It's chaos. But yeah,
you didn't fancy joining in with them, no.
No, it was a bit early. Maybe like 8 hours later, I'd have been all over it. But oh dear, it was embarrassing. Everyone on the plane was just like, they wouldn't. Do you know what? They wouldn't even bring the drinks trolley round. They didn't even bring it round on the flight out. They brought it round on the flight home. But on the flight out, they just decided not to bother because basically this group of girls were so drunk, they didn't want to add fuel to the fire. So none of us got any kind of drink whatsoever.
Disgusting. Write an email.
bloody Ryanair. Yeah, that was the first.
You went to London as well.
I did. That wasn't the first. I've been there many times. But yes, I did go to London.
Doing much of the same.
Yes. Well, COVID.
I went to London as well. COVID. Must talk about that.
Yeah, that wasn't fun. London was fun, but COVID was not fun.
Everyone's got their owner again, haven't they?
Yeah.
I went to London as well.
Yes, you did.
Watch Stranger Things.
Yes.
On the stage, which was phenomenal. If you're a fan of Stranger Things, I highly recommend that while it's in town. I was reading as well that they're doing a second part, so you've got to go again.
Oh, right. Interesting. So do you think you'll do the second one then?
I think we're going to have to, yeah. I mean, yeah. We've gone this far, haven't we? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I did, though. Oh, God, I went to the wrong circle, didn't I, you know, in the theatre.
Like, oh, no, yeah, like the upper dress.
This woman out of my seat, whatever. And she's like, you're in the... Yeah, I'm like, excuse me, you're in my seat. She's like, no, I'm in my seat. I'm like, my ticket says C18. She's like, yes, up there. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, no. You riff.
Enjoy the show, ladies. And some guy was like, you know, you have to, I've all just brushed past them all, made them all stand up, and I'm doing it again to get out. And he was like, oh, have you got the wrong show? Wicked's a different theatre.
Oh, there's always a comedian, isn't there? Always.
And stood on his tail. it was Christmas.
It was Christmas, yes.
Did you celebrate?
As far as I remember, I remember opening a bottle of champagne on Christmas Day, and then the next minute it was Boxing Day.
Well, there we go. Christmas. Done it. Check.
Done. Yeah.
Thank
was
you.
Was yours good?
Yeah, much of the same, really. Yeah.
You hurt your back, though, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we both hurt our backs while we were off.
I know. We're going to be wheeling us around.
Because we're ancient now. I only have to sleep funny and my back's like, you did it wrong. Oh. Yeah. Are you feeling better now?
I am now. I'm much more movable, but I do need to get
good.
At.
Yeah.
I think I've done something bad.
Oh, no.
So I had to drink for the pain, you know.
Of course. Medicinal.
Yeah. There was a tornado. I had 3 holes in my roof. Boiler broke. There was an earthquake in Japan. Mother Nature really came at us as well during the break.
I can't believe you had a tornado or a volcano, as the newsreader said on one of the channels. What was that? That's mad.
It was a bit mad.
Mad.
I didn't get a direct hit, thank God, but the hail was huge.
Oh, God, not good.
Linda was revealed to be the Christmas Day killer on Easter.
Oh.
Finally.
And I was fuming. not impressed with that. How did you feel? I didn't feel good about that.
It was all very exciting, though, wasn't it? You know what I mean?
I enjoyed the build-up. I enjoyed the episode. I enjoyed everything up to it. But then the reveal, I was like, oh, have we got to watch Linda be drunk for another year? I don't think I can bear this. I wanted it to be Suki. I didn't care who died. I just wanted Suki to be the murderer.
Suki's badass as well, isn't she?
She's badass.
She wears it well, doesn't she? She wears it well.
I love her.
So you couldn't hear a pin drop watching it. Apart, well, you could hear me phone because I tip tap into you.
True.
And I've got one more and a new channel called That's TV 2 launched. Yeah. And I started to air Home and Away from the beginning. So fans of old school Homers can go way back to episode 1 and watch it in sequence every day. Okay. I've already delved into it a bit.
I sent you a photo, didn't I? I was like, look. Yeah, it was. I sent you the photo because they were wearing the old Summer Bay High dresses. You know, we had that conversation recently where I wanted the Survey High dress, and then I was watching that and I was like, oh, these are the blue ones, the original ones. I don't want those ones. I want the grey and purple. Pink one.
Yeah, the later one was better, wasn't it?
Yeah, with the big white collar.
Yeah.
I want that one. Someone make me a Home and Away school dress, please.
Yeah, we've had thoughts of the Coastal News sewing bee. So coming your way soon.
Yes,
we'll probably get a mug. So yeah, if you're a fan and you want to go way back, get on that. There's lots of talk about it. I mean, we were chatting before the break, weren't we, about there being a renewed vigor online, and there's loads of stuff chit-chatting away online about the show. Wasn't 2 or 3 years ago. So it feels like there's a bit of a renaissance happening. The old nostalgia helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So we've got like this mix of sort of old and new going on. It's good. There's some good combo out there lately. So much of it.
Yeah.
It feels good to be a good time to be a fan of the show.
Definitely.
So there's that.
You forgot a highlight this week. Yeah. Traitors.
Traitor.
Traitor. I'm a traitor. You're faithful.
TV.
Traitors back. Yes. Yeah.
Must see TV of the year, as always. If you can't find us on Twitter, formerly known as X, formerly known as Twitter. I can't find us in there. What talking about Homer? We'll probably be talking about Traitors. There we go.
Yeah.
What a twist. Gotta wait a week.
What a twist.
Another plot twist. We, as you know, we're coming live in Manchester, Murder Mystery, and trivia, and all sorts of Homer meetupness with listeners of the podcast, fans of Home and Away. Tickets, we sold the last one today. It's all booked up. Wow.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. We are super excited. We are in proper organised mode. Everything's pretty much coming together, isn't it? And we've got lots planned for the day. It's going to be great. And I'm so happy that so many of you are coming. It's going to be good. So we're very excited about that. And to celebrate the return of this episode, we are doing a giveaway, one of our famous giveaways now, or infamous giveaways. The old Coastal News mug that was ever so popular in the last couple of seasons. We did a couple of giveaways, didn't we? Had a bit of a makeover. Get your hands on one. Just look us up on social media at Coastal News Pod. And get yourself entered into the competition. You've got till the end of January to like and retweet the tweet. If you don't have X formerly known as Twitter, you can email us your entry. Just email us coastalnewspod@gmail.com. Have I missed anything? I'm going to have some air and a swig of wine.
I don't think so. We've got lots to talk about, haven't we, this week? That's the problem. Can I win a mug, by the way? Because I've got the old season two mug, but I need a season four mug now.
I know. I was looking at it thinking I'm going to update these mugs. So, I feel the same way. yeah. Obviously, we're going to have to look after ourselves before the people.
I'm going to retweet.
Before the people.
Retweet away and then hopefully I'll get picked.
Got to be in it to win it, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get on it later.
Right. Do you want your headlines? That feels like a weird thing to ask you after so long.
Yes.
Do you want your headlines?
I want my first headlines of 2024, please.
Let's do it. Leah manages to find help for her and Justin at their deserted five-star factory resort. Irene and Harper make bail, but not before a night in the cells. Felicity's hiding a shocking secret from Tarnay as they try for her baby. And Rue and Marilyn have their heads banged together.
Finally.
Please take the time to like, subscribe, and review Coastal News wherever you source your podcasts and ensure you never miss an episode.
Right, as is now customary with Coastal News podcast, we need to kick off the day with Lyric in a minute. Let's get it out of the way.
Oh, God, I forgot. And yeah.
And does she have a stopwatch with her or not?
Hang on a second.
No worries. I mean, we'll get into the swing in a couple of episodes, people.
Don't make promises I can't keep, sorry. Come on, you know I'm disorganised. Jeez, right? I'm kind of there. Hang on.
I'm just She's going fast.
I'm going to the West Wing. Hang on. Here we go. Yes, I have got my stopwatch ready.
Ready and waiting. Right. After three?
Yes.
One, two, three. Lyric, they're trying to get Remy over the line with this whole Kirby rejoining the band after her disastrous single launch of herself, where she basically realised that she couldn't do it on her own way too late. And she's making calls to Forrest and the record label, but neither of them are budging. They've spent a buck ton of money on you, girl, and you signed a legal contract. You've got to go through with this. You are their property now. Eden suggests they get legal advice as well, but but Kirby says, I'll sort it my own way by talking and buying a cup of coffee. Yeah, that's going to work. Remy, he's moping about it all. Remember, he was moping about her leaving. Now he's moping about her rejoining. Like, is this guy ever happy? And Cash says to him, you know what they say, hindsight is 20/20. Do they say that though, Cash? Really? Do they? And what is Remy's issue? Seriously, I'm going to slap him. Right. Eden tries to talk him down. He's knocking drinks back. There's a big argument. Stop. He says, I'm done with you and Lyric. And that is Lyric in a minute.
Well done. Gosh, it's been weeks since we did one of them and you still did it. You smashed it out of the park. Well done.
Oh, no. Got a bit tongue twisted. Never mind.
Oh, you're good. You're all good. And you're right. He needs a bloody slap. I can kind of see why he's annoyed. I can kind of see it, but also just get over it, Remy, now. Come on. I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
Sing,
don't sing. Whatever you're doing, put a smile on, lad. Right. Get no sympathy here, is he? Leah, she did have my sympathy, actually. You'll remember.
Oh, God, yeah.
Great cliffhanger 2023 for us in the UK. Was Leah and Justin, they're at this factory, the cult are involved, they're dehydrating to death. Justin's climbed up some scaffolding, very loose scaffolding, has come crashing to the ground. There was a ladder all along, and where we left the show was Leah thought, I'll climb the ladder. So, and we had a right good laugh at it in our season finale back in November. And we rejoin Leah heading up to the top. Is it scaffolding? Like, what on earth is it she's climbing? It looks
just
like
some rungs, isn't it? That have obviously been built into the wall for reasons of escaping a room in case you get stuck in it. I can only assume. I've no idea.
It must be
rungs that you get in a submarine or on a boat. I don't really know why they're in a factory, but you know, they're there and she's used them finally. 2 weeks
later.
The hole
in the roof and she's aiming towards it, isn't she? Do you know what
I mean? Can see the light.
Roll with it. She was saying that too, wasn't she? She was like, I can see. I was like, can she see light or can she see the light? Because that's very two different things.
Well, who knows? Because I think she turned into a ghost later on. So who knows?
Did she? We'll come on to that. There was, some of the effects used. She's reassuring him as she goes, did the old, oh, I've made a slip. I'm going to end up like Justin. No, you know, made us all gasp for a moment. And she gets to the top and she breathes in that fresh air, fresh country air. Did you see as well? There was a big, like, she was just as she walked out, there was a big sort of petrol tanker with my initials spray painted on her.
I didn't see that.
I'm going to go with the props and sets team thought, this one's for you, Si. Yeah. Mm. So, SH was spray painted on this big oil big thing. And I thought, there we go.
Love it.
She can't get any water out of that rusty old tap. She is about to die. She's got someone called it donut glazed lips.
I think that was Julie on Twitter. Yes, she did look like she'd been eating sugary donut. You know when you try and eat a donut, you're that game where you try and eat a donut and you're not allowed to lick your lips, and if you lick your lips, you fail because you're not allowed to lick the sugar off. It did look a bit like that, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And it was obviously to make it really obvious to us she's about to keel over and die of dehydration.
Yeah, she's had no water for 3 days.
Now, I mean, I'm surprised Leah is bionic. I'm surprised she can't do osmosis. She's there. She's collapsing on the side of a dirt track road. She's drifting in and out of consciousness, isn't she? She's drifting in and out of sleep. She's about to give up. And this whole, she's a ghost thing you've mentioned. Home and away.
Well, I was really confused by this bit because I was like, is she alive? Is she dreaming this? Because you know, she was like, she was having a nap, wasn't she? And I was like, get up, Leah. Like, Justin's literally dying. He's bleeding to death on the floor and you're lying on the ground. Like, get up. I know you're dehydrated, love, but come on. Like, you've been through worse than this.
Got to understand, it's probably very warm.
Get up. Yeah, but she's got a winter woolies on. She's got a bloody jumper on. Take your jumper off if you're so warm. Come on. bizarre. But then she was like, she saw that car, didn't she? And she was trying to flag it down and it just went straight through her. And I was like,
yeah,
is she actually dead? And then the car disappeared. And I was like, oh, the car's a ghost. What's going on? What is this?
It's like it's when people see mirages in the desert. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she thought, I can drink the fuel out of that. There's moisture.
Her nails, though, her nails were immaculate. Her makeup, also immaculate. Her hair was a bit of a mess. Her jumper was a state and a half. But nails and makeup, like, I need to know where she gets her manicures done.
Yeah, not a scratch on them, with it?
That manicurist needs a tip and a half. I didn't even think. Yes, could have been smart if I actually thought about it, but no.
Genius there, you don't even know it. So yeah, this is what I love about Home and Away, though, is that its formula, its format, lends itself really well to this sort of stuff, this dream effect, this echoing voices, this am I seeing happening. We're then guessing as the audience, like, oh my god, is she dead? Is she, you know, like, I didn't question that myself, actually. It's interesting that you did. I just thought she was just going mad, you know, in her final moments.
Yeah.
And she starts seeing, because she starts seeing Justin walking towards her, shouting, "Get up!
Yeah,
like you're getting you to school at 8 o'clock in the morning." Yeah. But obviously that was the way of them telling us he gave her the strength to get up and go and get help. And as look, we're blooming have it. You know, the car's coming down the road.
Yeah.
And she's dragging her feet across this dirt path, and this guy stops her and, "You all right, love?" finally, help is brought to Justin, and then he looks dead, and I'm like, I just can't keep up with this. Honestly, I need a breath. And there was one of these episodes, it was this where all this was going on. The advert was a lot later than normal. I don't know if you noticed. I was thinking, I need air. I need to get out of this room. Come on.
Yeah, it was. Normally there's an ad break about 7 minutes in, but I'm sure it went to 10 on the first episode back.
Felt like a lifetime. It thinking, did. Where's the ad break? On Channel 5, not like you not to show an ad.
I know. Simba mattress. Hybrid. Dating for your 50s. It's all there. It's all there on Channel 5.
Everything you'd want. So it's fast forward. They get him to Northern District's Hospital, don't they? He's Crookers Road.
Yeah, because is that the nearest hospital to the middle of wherever they were?
Must be.
That was weird.
It suits the plot, and that's the studio we've got. Roll with it.
I was like, oh, I thought they'd driven for like 2 days, and then all of a sudden they've ended up back at the nearest hospital is the one near their house. I was a bit confused, but I did Jenny this. I was like, okay, fine.
Well, I did Jenny the whole thing. Do you remember, you know, the whole, like, we missed how they even got there? That all came out during this.
Oh, yes.
And it was like, they were ambushed. And, you know, we were surmising what happened.
She was talking to Ghost Justin at the time, wasn't she? She's having a go at him. This is all your fault. You stopped the car. You
believe the lies.
Yeah, you believe them. You let us get ambushed. I was like, oh, is this her telling us what happened? And we're not going to see any of that. Or no one else has been told the story either since then. Like, we've not heard her explain it to anybody else, have we, on camera?
Well, no, Dirty Cash is off the case, isn't he? Suspended. Yeah. All over. I mean, when he finds out later on down the line, he rushes over there, doesn't he? And it's like, yeah, you're no use to us, lad.
Yeah, you don't work. You don't work anymore. Go away.
Yeah, who's investigating this cult? They're at large.
Everyone keeps asking her what happened, and she just keeps going, Justin. And I'm like, yeah, we know that, man. Like, tell us what happened.
Friend of the pod, and you know, Lee. lead editor on the show, Marty, said to us that he still hears her screaming Justin ringing in his ears, which I thought was hilarious.
He lies down at night to go to sleep and all he can hear is Justin.
think I'll remember that when I went, when I have a day where I think my job stuff. I remember I remember Marty going through that and I think, oh god, it's a bad
gosh. Yeah. I mean, if you'd had a shot every time she said the word Justin, you'd have been dead. I think.
Oh, I've skipped past the chainsaw. They had to chainsaw the way into this factory.
Oh yes, they did. Yeah.
Yeah, this episode had everything.
Did it? Literally everything.
Ghost cars.
I did love it as much as we are taking the mickey out of it, because let's face it, one of the reasons why you and I love Home and Away is that it's over the top and it's camp, and we love these kind of scenes, don't we? So we are laughing about it, but I did enjoy this, and it was a good episode to come back to after Christmas, wasn't it?
It was high octane, really fast paced. It really got me back into the show with a bang. It's a great way to do it. And then I must say, I was all this excitement, I was brought way back down to earth. We're at the hospital and Leah's pouring a wee heart out. I did it, you know, it did. I did think, oh gosh,
yeah,
it is looking bad, this, isn't it? And to this day, then the rest of the week, we'd not really gone back, but he's in ICU. Like, we don't know if he's going to come through. I mean, he should have broke his back the way he fell.
Yeah, but he's got internal bleeding, hasn't he? So they wanted to operate, but they couldn't because he wasn't stable, because he'd been, you know, in an environment with no light, food, water for 3 days. He's going to be not very stable, isn't he? So it was all very touch and go. He's like, then we need to operate, but we can't yet because we need to get stabilised. And, you know, the longer they put off that operation, the worse that's going to get. Yeah, and then, you know, if they can't stabilise and they've got to do the operation, and then it's like touch and go whether he survives the operation. It is, oh gosh, it is a bit nail-bitey, isn't it, this bit?
It is. And and I'm a bit worried, you know, I'm a bit worried about where we go from here. Even if he pulls through, like, the repercussions of this.
Yeah,
are gonna be quite sizable, I reckon. And that's what.
Or are they? That's the thing with Home and Away. So he's been stabbed before, hasn't he, Justin? Has he been shot? I can't remember if he was shot or not. I think he's been stabbed. And obviously, Leah has gone through all kinds of stuff. She's been impaled, and I thought Leah would take a while after the impalement to go back to normal, but she was off to Cyprus 2 weeks later. So this is the thing with Home and Away. Is this going to be one of those storylines where Justin has to go back on pain meds and then we go back down the old addiction storyline again and we regress back to a couple of years ago and, you know, all of this gets blown out to proportion and he goes through, I don't know, PTSD or something? Or is it going to be one of those storylines where in 2 weeks' time he's just back to being Justin again and it's all forgotten about? I don't know.
I'd be inclined to say that, like, oh, you know, flippantly. But, I mean, this whole thing's been tied back to the year-long cult thing. The signs are there that, you know, this could splinter on. What I'm worried about is, of course, we had Leah doing the whole deathbed proposal.
Yeah.
And, you know, has she realised too? Because the reason they're not wed is her doing, like, she'd have been there, done that way too many times, and she's had to
get
way too many of them. Yeah, so she was well against it, and it was her. She's the reason they're not married. Now all of a sudden he's about to die. She wants to marry him. Like, you know, has she realised too late? And is Leah going to beat herself up about that? You know, why has it taken something like this to happen for her to open up about it? Is that then going to mean that their relationship credibility is going to be questioned? I don't know. There's all sorts of stuff running through my mind right now.
There's so much, isn't it? Because these are two characters that have been on the show for so long and their back history is so complicated as well, individually as well as a couple. This could go anywhere, couldn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah.
And has anyone checked on Andrew? This is the other thing. So the cult have come after Justin because of what he did. You know, shot them and they got caught and Margot went to prison, but the rest of them are still out of jail. Has anyone checked to see if any repercussions happened to Andrew? Is he okay? Is he locked in a factory somewhere?
Exactly. We know absolutely nothing about the investigation of this cult.
No.
And, you know, we need this information. I'm sorry.
I think Leah should have been like, has anyone checked if Andrew's okay? And, like, rang his sister or whoever. and just said, we've been caught up again with the cult. Are you okay? Justin's in hospital. Is Andrew okay? You know, they need a heads up that the cult's still out there and still operating. What, don't they?
Yeah, just me. Absolutely. No, you're right. And not just focusing on a share box of Krispy Kremes at the hospital. No, all the donut brands are available.
Oh, dear.
Speaking of investigations, right.
Mm.
Harper and Dana, they're having a run on the beach. They're having happy times. Police showing up. You'll remember in the cliffhanger last year, Rose very rudely, after being given a lovely free burger the night before from Irene, storms into the diner and arrests her in front of everybody. And I was absolutely fuming about it. They've now turned up for Harper at the beach, and just as she's looking happy. So they're all down at YCPD, and Irene's not happy as shit. Did you have to do that at my workplace in front of everyone? And I'm like, Irene, you need to get your sass on. And boy, did she this week. Poor Johnny's running around like headless chuck after her. You know, you're telling her to do a no comment interview. Get a lawyer, do a no comment. You know, we say it every time one of the oldies are in strife with the law. A good old trip from the old, I nearly said Celia, Morag.
Oh, I know.
Morag. This is where she slotted right back into the show. She'd have come back and out.
She would have, yeah.
And it's times like this I really reminded how much I miss her from the show. I really do. I know, but in the show, she exists.
She does, but I don't think anyone could play her now. Cornelia was Morag, and I don't think that if they brought someone else in, I think I'd be fuming.
No, but I think we need closure on Morag, but that's another day. Yeah. Because we're not in that limbo then. In these moments, I won't be thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, Morag.
Yeah, true.
But you're right. I don't think anyone else could do it. I don't think anyone else would attempt it, would dare.
No, she was such a powerhouse. I can't imagine anyone else taking that role on.
And so in the interview, she doesn't give a no comment one anyway. She's got no lawyer at all.
No,
because Morag's too busy. And she's saying things like, do you think I would have broken the law without a flipping good reason? And I'm like, stop admitting all this stuff, right? You're the scapegoat here. Cash has just got away with getting suspended, right? Okay, why has he not been arrested?
Yeah. This whole thing makes no sense, does it? Like, someone had mentioned this today. I think it was Mr. David on Twitter. Was it Jamie? It might have been Jamie, actually. Somebody said, you know, without all of this, what Cash did, what Irene did, Dana would be dead. Because Madden would have killed her in that warehouse. Madden would still be a corrupt cop. He'd still be running drugs for the criminal gang that he was working with. So if Cash hadn't intervened, if Dana hadn't intervened, if Irene hadn't intervened, the end result would have been much, much worse, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You would think so, wouldn't you? And you're right. Like, in the end, the cop was bad, the bad guy.
Mm.
Like,
was a copper, So, of course, they're not going to trust him. They're not going to... He's gone to prison. We've not heard anything since, have we? So the last time we saw him, I think Cash said he's in jail. Presumably, they've caught him bang to rights. Presumably he's going to have to plead guilty. He's not got a chance of getting out, etc., etc. So he's been caught. He was one of their own, and it makes sense to me. I know it's not the cop's fault, it's the CPS that got to decide, but it makes sense to me that of course Dana and Harper didn't trust the cops because she was being set up by one. So it makes sense that they didn't go to, and they went to the only cop they could trust, and he didn't exacerbate the corruption. He didn't join Madden's side. He investigated Madden. He brought him down. They should be giving him a medal. I know he's done the wrong thing, but there shouldn't be. I don't get it. I don't really get it.
Well, you know,
explain it to me.
I can't do that. you know my thoughts on Cash. I think he should have been suspended way back. I think
he should have been suspended for all the dodgy shit he did last year. But I actually think he did the wrong thing for the right reason this time. And it's kind of, I can kind of understand why he did it. Because he was trustworthy. Madden wasn't. He was going to anti-corruption. He was going to go and tell them everything. And Madden kidnapped her. So in a way, he was doing the right thing.
Yeah, kidnapped her. Like, literally administered deathly poison.
Yeah.
By a syringe. Like, it's insane.
It is insane.
Oh, my God.
And if he hadn't intervened, and if Irene hadn't helped her, Dana would be dead. And this cop would still be out there. He'd still be a cop and he'd still be doing nasty, horrible stuff.
Exactly.
I don't really get it.
If they're doing all this with Irene, the Crown Constitution Service or whatever, they need to do it with all of them. I just don't...
Yeah.
It's either, you know...
Everybody or nobody.
Slap on the wrist. Thank you. You did, you know, difficult circumstance. We won't take it further. Or full hog. You can't treat one or the other. At the end of the day, because it was in Irene's back bedroom, does not make any difference to Cash. In fact, Cash knew more than she did.
Yeah,
you know, she was out of town. That's another way they could have gone about this. Irene could have just said, "I was out of town."
I think she did, and I think when Rose interviewed her, she didn't really believe her. She was like, "Oh, come on, it was your house. You must have known." And she was like, I didn't know till I got back. I didn't know Dana was there till I got back home.
Tell you what, you would not tell Rose now, would you, life?
No, she's gone way down. I wasn't the biggest Rose fan anyway, but she's gone way down in my estimation now.
She'll tell you
one day. No more free burgers for you.
Nope, she'll say you're free one day and she's banging you up the next, tell you. No, wouldn't trust her as far as I could throw her.
No.
It's all got everyone confused anyway, hasn't it? Everyone's confused. Dana's name's cleared, you know.
Yeah.
Right. You know, she was the one being set up, but now they've left all this mess behind her, all this collateral.
Yeah.
But I tell you what did happen, though. There was this gorgeous scene where John drives Cash home. I don't know if it stood out to you, this scene.
Yeah.
And he's dropping him off, isn't he? And they're having this sort of little chat in the car. I think what was nice about it was two blokes, two fellas, you know?
And it's like, I know John's probably not old enough to be his dad, but it was almost like a father-son kind of... Because Cash obviously hasn't got that, has he? He's got Gary, but Gary's not on screen. We don't see him. But John is like the parent of the bay, isn't he? He's like everyone's dad. He's there with the advice. He's there with the jokes. He's there with the inappropriate comments and what have you. So from that point of view, it was nice. It was like Cash had an older person to go to for help if he needed it.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It was father sonny type advice, wasn't it? And I just love that Cash, who doesn't normally give us anything, he's normally the support for others.
Yes.
Really. Unless, you know, he's... girlfriend's moved to his ex's in-laws. Right, as you proposed to her. And he opens up and he says, you know, my trust is gone. Like, I've worked my whole life for this, to be a policeman, and I don't know if I can do this anymore. I think I don't want to be a policeman. And that is something to say when it's one of those jobs, that isn't it, that defines you.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not like one of the
job. It's
I'm fed up, I'm gonna update my CV. You know, it's not one of those jobs, is it? You know,
it's like a calling, isn't it? It's like it's more than a career. It's like you say, it takes up your life.
Yeah, well, he says, I joined to help people, and if this is what happens to you when you help them. You know, people who have been proven to be good.
Yeah.
You know, oh God, it's a mess. It's a mess, this.
Yeah. I do wish they'd brought Gary back, though, because I think, thank God we had got John. But the other person that would actually understand this from Cash's point of view is Gary, because he's got that cop background.
Yeah, that's true. Oh,
it's a shame, really, that we don't have Gary. I loved Gary.
Yeah. Oh, well, he was brought in for Flick, wasn't he? So why... Cash, yeah, you're right. That would have been perfect time to give Gary a ring. Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, what a missed opportunity.
I know. Gazza.
Beloved Gazza. Team Gazza.
Team Gaz.
One last thing to note about this storyline this week is Irene's sass continues to heat and boil over when Rose tries to come into the diner for a coffee. Oh, yeah. I thought she's going to chuck her out.
I would. Get out of my diner. Leg.
Irene and John are trying to side note, like a D story that's rippled through, is this whole lifetime achievement thing for Alf, isn't it? So Irene and John are putting together this presentation and all the rest of it, and she's using that as a distraction tactic to bury her head in the sand about this, because she's been released from the cells because the magistrates couldn't see them that day, you see. So they got bail the next day after a night in YCPD. But of course now they're doing the waiting around for the court day, aren't they? And Irene's sort of burying her head in the sand. John's pecking her head. You need to go and see your lawyer, because Harper's lawyer's saying she's got previous, she's going down. So that it's all very doom and gloom about Irene, and she has got a right cob on, isn't she?
Yeah.
And I love it. I really love it. I was thinking tonight watching it, I think all I need now is her to be on the booze. I think this is enough.
It would be enough to tip her over, but do I want to see her fall that far? It's entertaining, isn't it? But it's also so heartbreaking to watch her fall apart like that.
It is.
Would she be this? Because at the moment she's like this fiery, you know, she's got nothing to lose. You know, she's going around, she's giving everyone a piece of her mind and saying exactly what she thinks. And she's like, she's living off this anger that she's carrying, isn't she? And saying, you know what, there's other people with bigger problems than this. You know, when she's talking to Rue and Marilyn, which we'll get on to. Would we have that fiery Irene if she suddenly hit the bottle? I don't think we would. I think we'd just go down a depression hole.
You might be right there. You might be right. I feel like, though, she can be a bit nasty. I don't know.
Oh, she can, yeah. Yeah, the drink makes you say stuff that you wouldn't normally say, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just kind of want it again. Just for my own selfish entertainment.
As long as she doesn't go around slapping children. We'll be...
I don't mind that, to be honest. But there's not enough of that on telly.
Not in 2024. You can't do that nowadays.
Oh, dear. Frowned upon. Oh, you're all so woke. So that's all. Something else that's also a mess, but you know, we'll see what's coming next week. I feel like the court is going to be very soon, the magistrates, so let's see what happens, and let's see what support she gets from that. Right, Flick and Tani.
Oh god.
Take a breath. Do you need a drink?
I've got one, thankfully. Prepared. One I prepared earlier.
He wants a baby, doesn't he? It was a deal breaker of their marriage. They were at breaking point when we left them before the season end. And Felicity didn't want kids. It was a red line for her. And then she surprised us all by saying, yeah, let's do it. I took my time coming around with everything else. The house, the land and the lake in New Zealand, the wedding, you know, I took my time. I got there with that, I'll get there with this. And she did it basically out of fear of she's going to lose him, and she'll stay and do anything to keep a hold of him, basically. And this is now the stickiest of sticky situation we've found ourselves in. And I don't mean that crudely, because they're literally making babies everywhere. So he is on cloud nine, as we've joined him back in 2024 here when the seasons come back. And they're making babies everywhere. They're trying and trying and trying. He's whispering sweet things about things in her ear. And she's saying, like, you know, I've only just come off the pill. Might take a while, you know, just calm down. And he's like already decorated the nursery, you know, like They're in complete different ends of this spectrum, aren't they?
Yeah. That wasn't sexy talk to me at all. You know what I mean? Like, this is the hot couple. I love this. Well, I loved this couple. I'll get on to how I feel about them in a minute. I loved this couple last year. You know, they are the sexy hot couple of the show. I normally enjoy the old bedroom scenes between these two. But, you know, whispering, I can't wait to impregnate you and be a dad. And let's go and decorate the nursery while he's trying to get her into the bed. Oh, I mean, there's nothing that turns me off more quickly than that kind of conversation.
Even the wall went stiff.
I went limp. I was completely not into this at all. I was so off this. If you want to put me off, tell me that you want to impregnate me, and I will run a mile. Mile, it's just not a turn on for me at all. Some people love this kind of. I mean, I think Flick was having the same reaction as what I would have, because she looked a bit revolted by the whole thing as well.
Well, she, like you, she doesn't want it. It's not for her. You know what I mean? So, you know, it is all very awkward, isn't it? And because as the audience, we're privy to the truth. Or we've got a better, you know, we've got a clearer sort of wider view of the whole thing. We're not sort of as tunnel vision as Tani is. The whole thing just is really uncomfortable. I don't know about you. I'm watching them thinking, oh my God.
I've fizzle watched them last year, but now I really think this is the end.
You're right. And you know,
this is it.
They've realized it was whirlwind, and they've realized they want different things out of life. I mean, it happens. We've said it before. It happens more often than you think, you know. But you've just got to get through it, and eventually you'll find your lobster. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm trying not to be too negative about it, because I'm feeling it, and it's invoking a reaction. Even if that reaction is awkwardness and uncomfortableness, like, I think the storyline's designed to do that, right? There's a real situation that many couples probably find themselves in, with a sprinkle of added drama because it's Summer Bay.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're having sex. They're trying to get pregnant. Later on, Flick goes to work. Remember, Cash has come home and found clothes everywhere, and she says to Cash, you know, when she catches up with Cash at Seoul, you know, and says to him, we're trying for a baby, and he's like, oh, congratulations, and also, like, what's happened? Like, why have you changed your mind? And she just snaps at him, like, can't you just be happy for me? You know, like, she doesn't want to face it, even with her brother, own flesh. Look, she to herself, she probably can't even face it to herself. Like, she cannot talk about it. Like, she's just deflect. And that kind of behavior is going to become obvious really quickly, in my opinion. You know, he's like, oh, you're not doing it for all the wrong reasons. She's absolutely petrified of losing Tani. And Tani can't see it. There has been the other conversation, hasn't there? Like, oh, you know, you made me did that romantic dinner for her. Made her come home from work early. And I'm just like, sick up in my mouth. He's like, oh, you know, I know you didn't want this, but you're doing it. And I'm thinking, does he know? Does he know what he's doing here? Like, I can't work it out.
Oh, it's giving me the ick, because I think on some level he knows that she doesn't want this, but I think he wants it so badly that he's willing to kind of
let her.
I think all along he's known this. We said this last year for many, many weeks last year. He's known this the whole time he's known her. She was upfront from day one that she did not want to get married. She did not want to have kids. She didn't want the, you know, 2.4 children, nice house, picket fence thing. Yes, she's changed her mind about the wedding and the house and everything else. And I think he honestly is still thinking, I can change her mind about the kids thing. And I think that is an irreversible decision. Getting married, you can get divorced. Getting a house, you can sell the house. Having a kid?
Kill it. No, I get it.
Take it on holiday and leave it in the bedroom. Is that too far? Go out for dinner with your mates. Is that too far? If I get, is that the line? If I just, oh God, we're gonna get cancelled.
No, it's all right.
I'm sorry. I don't find that funny, but you know what I mean. It's not a decision you take lightly. It's not something you can reverse. It's not something you can take back.
No, that's true.
And if she did get pregnant, then she has got that horrible decision to make of, you know, does she keep it or does she not keep it?
Yeah.
And I think that's when she'll wake up. If she does, you know, we've seen her taking the contraceptive pill behind his back, haven't we, at work?
Oh, yeah.
But the contraceptive pill is not 100% effective. You can still get pregnant on the contraceptive pill. You can still get pregnant on any contraceptive. No contraceptives are 100% effective.
Well, I was about to say to you, is this the lesson that we, you know, like the storyline teaches a lesson? You know, imagine if we end up in that situation.
Yeah. I think this is so serious, but I think he's burying his head in the sand and he's just thinking, she'll come round.
I'll keep telling her what a great mum she'll be.
Yeah,
they're over, aren't they? I mean, when inevitably he discovers what she's doing, he's going to feel utterly betrayed.
Yes. Yeah.
She's feeling utterly devastated and is she feeling, I mean, we've had no signs yet, but is she feeling forced? Is this coercion? You know, like, got to ask these questions. Like, we don't know.
I think it's on both sides. I think I was trying to sort of flip it in my mind on both sides. So from her point of view, she's lying to him. She's manipulating him, essentially. If you flipped it around, if it was Tane saying, I don't know, I don't want to get pregnant or whatever, and her maybe putting holes in the condom, or you know what I mean, it would be that would be horrendous. Or if it was the other way around and Tane knew that she didn't want to have children and he was slipping off a condom when they were having sex and like making her think that he was wearing one, that's technically rape, isn't it? I think legally it's seen as rape, but I don't know. It's like, it's so, oh, it's such a gray area with this that I'm like, what is going on here and who is really at fault? And I don't know, I feel it's very uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, it is. And it's they're very very brave for doing this, going down the route, because, and I'm sure we'll find out soon, but the reaction is going to be strong, whatever you think, you know. Right, this one we can do quite quickly, actually. Your promised wife, your problem.
Yes, Mac. Thank God she's back. The return of the Mac.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so I love Mac. I love an entrance with Mac. I just love Mac. She's back from visiting Diggy and Co. And she's walked in on Zara living in her farmhouse. You'll remember Zara is Marley's promised wife, and it's caused a load of jealous ruckus between Rose and Marley that no one really cares about. And she's doing things like very manipulative, inviting herself to dinner with them, making it sound like she's doing something good, like she's realised that she's made things difficult, but I want to make up to you, let's have dinner together, when she's actually gatecrashing the entire evening. That kind of behaviour. Xander's told her to stay out of it, but Xander's, I think he's going to feel a bit of empathy towards Zara here, me. I think we need to keep an eye on him. I think he's going to end up falling out with Rose if he's not careful.
Yeah.
Rose has had a run-in with her. He's, you know, she's just a bully in fancy dress, meaning she's a copper. And the whole, you know, you hate coppers thing has arisen again. Which has always been a bit of a weak link. I built that up when Marley first arrived, but it's a bit weak, really. Some of our brother. And she'd had enough, give him an ultimatum, her or me. I thought, oh, thank God someone's taking control there. God. He's still then, is the little dweeb. Like, he's got no backbone.
No
has
scoring.
He's got no scoring. Cojones,
no,
as they say in some parts. Yeah. He still doesn't think, I've upset this girl. I really feel for her. What if I blow this old person up who I've not seen 4 years?
5 years.
Like, let us see her ass and fall out with you then. What have you lost?
Oh. I don't understand this at all. You know, we keep hearing, I can't turn my back on her. My culture, my family, you know, you have to take someone in who's in need and blah, 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 blah. But your culture's okay with you being disrespectful and upsetting your girlfriend?
I think not.
I don't understand this at all.
Mm.
Like, so no. It's not okay for him to tell this girl that he hasn't seen for 5 years to rack off. It's not okay to do that, but it's okay to take her in at the discomfort, disrespect, you know, risk of upsetting, risk of losing his current girlfriend, who he's already dropped the L-bomb. You know, he's already said, I love you. She said, I love you back.
Yeah, but I didn't feel it, did you?
No, well, I didn't. That's another thing. If we Jenny it, if we go with it, this couple is supposed to be the next big thing, you know, in love, honeymoon phase. They're supposed to just love the bones of each other and just, you know, want to be with each other all the time, think each other's the, you know, the bee's knees, etc. We're supposed to believe that. Whether we do or not is a different question. But so he's saying, I can't turn my back on my promised wife, even though I've not seen her for 5 years. Because my culture tells me that I've got to take her in, and my culture tells me I've got to be nice to her. My mum's telling me I can't upset her. But your mum's okay with you upsetting your current girlfriend. Are we back to the cop thing with his mum, and his mum not really wanting him to be with Rose, and his sister not really wanting him to be with Rose, and they want him to be with Zara, and this is how they're sabotaging it?
Do you remember us saying, oh, his mum sent her? You know, is it all that? But if we're to believe it, that is, it's more to do with her being lonely and being at uni or something.
She's quite at uni, hasn't she? She doesn't want to go home. Because what she said was, my family sacrificed everything so I could go off to uni and do law because that was my dream. She's jacked it in. She hasn't graduated. And now she's embarrassed. She can't go home. And she says the only reason she can go home, the only thing she thinks she can go home with a bargaining chip to say to her family, yes, I dropped out of law. Yes, I haven't got a degree. I'm a failure. But I'm back with Marley. And she thinks that's some kind of like consolation prize, which is so insulting, first of all, to Marley.
But also
delusional. It's like, get a grip.
Marley comes across as if he's actually considering it because he's hesitated. And he's not. Now, if I was Rose, or if I was Rose's gay best friend, I'd be like, what are you doing? You need a man. Like this guy. If he's not going to fight your corner, you're wasting your time.
And you know what? This is the first time that Xander's actually stepped up and said something. And I've been so proud of Xander for stepping up to Marley and saying, do you know what? Yeah. If you can't put Rose first, you shouldn't be with her.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Xander's going to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
First time in ages I've agreed with Xander on anything, but he was spot on.
Yeah, he was about that, but I do worry that he's going to start feeling sorry for her.
Because he loves the damsel in distress, and she's here, this lonely woman who's got no life, and that's Xander's type, isn't it? Let's face it. He's going to be all over that.
Yeah, he is. He's going to be up at that farmhouse.
No. Holy Alexander. Yeah.
Right. Marilyn, she goes to visit Rue, filling her in on all the goss going on in town.
That was hilarious conversation. That was hilarious. Oh, and Justin's dying. Irene's been arrested.
You'd be falling off the couch, wouldn't you, like, Jesus?
Where have I been?
Was it a season cliffhanger by any chance? And all the while the caravan park's shut. I mean, while all this is going on, she's taking calls, she's turning business away. I have to mention it because you and I talk about the day-to-day goings on at the Summer Bay house that we miss. So things like taking a phone call for a caravan booking excites us all.
It does. We just need to see the wall of keys and some towels in a tumble dryer now.
Yeah, then we've got the full package, absolutely. And oh, she's cold as ever, Rue, isn't she?
Oh.
Snaps about not knowing anything. Why have you not told me?
Because you told me to rack off.
Yeah. You know, what about your home help? She's not told you either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's her sister that's been arrested.
I know. I know. Because obviously that's not the summer bay mantra. You have to tell anyone everything.
Yeah.
Then there's Alf's text ahead, hasn't he? And this is what spins everything out of control here now. Because Rue's created this Rue palace of hatred, I will call it. She's banished. She's banished Marilyn out. She's hired in help. She's closed the caravan park and she's sitting there in her festering in her own hatred, isn't she, about being the only one who's left reeling from that stunning organics tip bomb.
Fortress of hatitude.
Yeah, that's it. But I do laugh because John's not made an ounce of time to go up there to see her. And he was in the bloody with her.
Yeah, that's true.
Never mind.
I forgot that, never actually. Mind.
Al's text is coming home from Marimbula. Oh shit.
Marimbula. So,
she just, you remember, she doesn't want Alf to know. She wants to paint to Alf that she's a good little girl and that Marilyn's after it. And she's like making out that she's done it all for him. She remember she got him out of the way. He said he wouldn't go down there.
I didn't want to stress him out. Yeah. Yeah. No.
And she says, this is honestly what I'm about to describe, absolutely disgusting behaviour. She says to Marilyn, well, you need to tell him that you decided to leave. And if you were this great friend, you're saying that you always would be, you'd do this for me.
Ugh.
I thought, you are lowest of low girl now. Like, yeah. What very little patience I had left for you. You've just pissed all over it. Really. I was really, really cross. I loved that Marilyn sort of refused, just point blank. Like, no. Yeah. No, this is your doing. Like,
you know,
I'm
what?
Not going to tell
the audacity.
Anymore,
right? Do you know, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, when we were last watching Home and Away, and Rue said to Marilyn, I can't trust you because you're always lying. You tell
exactly.
lies. You tell lie after lie after lie. And then she's saying, if you're a friend, you'll lie for me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
She is beyond it, isn't she? She is unreal. Yeah. I think I tweeted, what a bitch. I was so cross. I was really cross.
I couldn't believe it. So lying is not okay unless it's Rue that's asking you to do it, and then it's absolutely fine. To save Rue's skin because she's too afraid to tell her dad that she's a bit of a dick, essentially.
How old is she?
I know.
Yeah. This is your doing, you're supposed to be my friend. Oh god. Mm-hmm. And Marilyn then she escapes the fortress of hatred and goes down to the diner, and obviously Irene's down there. She's all stressed because she's out on bail wondering what's going to happen, and you know, she's going through all her stuff we were talking about earlier. And Marilyn's saying to her something like, what are you doing here? Go home. You know, you can't be here. And she snaps at her, doesn't she? Like, why?
Yeah.
It's my diner, you know. Mm. And then it all sort of comes out, doesn't it? Marilyn breaks down and then they sit down and chat about everything that's going on. And she doesn't, she fills Irene in on what Rue's been like. So Rue gets a visit as Irene and Maz go marching up there. And honestly, like,
scene of the year. Of the year.
Absolutely.
it's only the 5th of January, but scene of the year.
Yeah, we're calling it early. Ring the bell. Because she's saying everything that we're all been saying at the TV. You know what I mean? You know, she goes in there and she says, right, you two, you know, I have had enough. You're grown women. You know, and she turns to Rue and gives her an absolute what for, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She says, you ask me, and I'm not asking you. If you ask me.
Like, yes. I know. She's like, Leah and Justin nearly died. You're making up lies. You're like a flipping teenager. There's bigger problems in the world. Grow up. I was like, yes.
I was like, Oh, I've watched it so many times, Sophie. I've watched it so many times. It's just so satisfying, isn't it?
It's brilliant. Go Rainey. Go Rainey.
I know. I love the, you know, I'm doing it for Dad and I'm the second coming.
That was brilliant. The Irene-isms are just so good. This is what I love about Irene, like her vernacular, the way that she talks, the way that, you know, she comes across. Oh, she's just such a bloody legend.
And Marilyn is like, thanks, Irene.
Just fluttering her eyelashes in the background. Yeah, thanks, Irene. Thanks for having my corner. Oh, you
tell you what.
You want to be on Irene's side, though, don't you? You'd love her as a friend, but as an enemy, you would not want Irene.
Yeah. Catch her on bail facing charges. Mm. Don't cross her. Hey, it's just so a trick, good. Though.
Yeah. Well, what, does it? I'm not sure.
A U-turn.
That's going in the book. That's going in the book.
You don't trust it, do you? I know you're going to say it.
I don't trust her. We've had this before. She did the whole, I forgive you, Marilyn, last time. You know when she's in a hospital? And she agreed, because Alf at this point, Mr. Stewart wanted to run off to Marimbula, didn't he? And he was saying, I can't leave you unless you and Marilyn have sorted everything out. And then she was like, oh, Marilyn, I forgive you. Everything's okay. And Marilyn was like, oh, thanks, Rue. Oh, brilliant. And then the minute Mr. Stewart was on the road to Marimbula, she was like, yeah, I lied. Get out of my house.
Yeah.
I'm just not trusting her. She's not a friend. She's a bitch.
Yes, a grade A. Yeah. I'm surprised Marilyn's not a little bit more cautious as well. Yeah. She's sort of like, yay, friends.
I don't think this is over.
Let's get the picture album out. Do you not? No. Mm. No.
No. No, there's still, you can't hate someone that much and forgive them that easily. There's going to be something else bubbled up. Marilyn will do something next week that annoys her and she'll snap at her.
Mm-hmm. And do you think Alf will be about to see it?
I hope so.
He'll smell it. He'll sniff it. He'll sniff it out.
He definitely isn't the second coming. He's been here long enough, long in the tooth. He knows everything. He'll see it a mile off if it's not. If she's not being genuine, he'll know.
Yeah, yeah. He'll walk in and he'll think, "Blaming hell's going on."
Also, someone's going to mention to Mr. Stewart that Marilyn's not been at home. Like, everybody in the bay knows that Marilyn moved out and she went and lived with Leah. It's going to come out. He's going to be like, what do you mean, living with Leah?
Yeah. Do you know what I think? I think now you've said that, you've convinced me more that Rue is going to carry on being a little so-and-so, like, but behind Al's back, you know, like whispering and being nasty.
Yeah.
And I think it's all going to come to a head at whatever this public award. Oh.
God, yes, maybe this is why we're having, because it's weird that we're having this lifetime achievement thing at the surf club, isn't it, now, when all this is kicking off. So
might have been inspired by Ray Mars, This Is Your Life, last year.
Oh, it could have been at the same time, couldn't it? Obviously it's delayed for us because they film ahead and then we're behind, aren't we? So behind. Theoretically, yeah, it could have been around the same time, couldn't it, when they came up with this? Yeah.
And that's like proper soap, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
big public event, everyone there, and it all comes out.
Yes, that's got, it's got to be, isn't it? These things never go without a hitch. Oh my God, it's the first You'll Say on the Bay of 2024.
Exciting.
Oh, I am actually excited. You know what?
Yeah.
I should explain what we do on this segment. But this is where I go digging through social meds, as John calls it, and read all the comments and all the reactions from people who watch Home and Away in the UK and see what everyone's thinking, basically, about what the show's doing at the moment. It's taken me so long this week because we've got a backlog, basically, haven't we? So... Homer's has been off air since, I think it was the 18th of November, was it? The last one?
Something like that.
17th of November. It went off on its break and it's come back. And we've come back to so much going on. And then we've had six episodes, haven't we, with First Look Pace.
Yeah.
Because we had they had the Friday last week, and then we've had Monday to Friday this week. So we've had 6 episodes, loads of comments to get through. So I think we're just going to have to get stuck in and see what we do.
See what people are saying. I love this. Because I'm completely blind, aren't I, to this? Yeah. Like, you choose this, and then you tell me what people are saying, and I love it. Go on.
Isn't it? Great. Let's have a look then. So, first of all, the thing that warmed my heart looking at social media this week was I went and had a look on Facebook, and the Home and Away account had posted a little photo, really, of we're coming back. You know, we're back. It's the new year.
Yeah.
New homers, we're back. And I had a look at the comments. There were so many comments on that photo. And I had a look at the comments, and I was overwhelmed by all of the messages that were like, Happy New Year, Home and Away. We missed you. We're so glad you're back. Thank God this has made my year. There were so many nice comments, and it was so nice to see, because as everybody that's heard this segment before, you'll say on the base segment before, I do read both sides of the argument. I do read the good. I do read the bad. I do read the ugly. Yeah. The comments on social media, and sometimes we can get bogged down in the very ugly and the very bad, because you know there's things that just don't tick everyone's boxes, and not everything will. But seeing so many people happy that Homers was returning, I thought was really, really good and really positive and really nice to see.
I said to you at the top of the episode, now there's a bit of a buzz about the show.
Definitely lots of people saying Happy New Year, welcome back. John on Facebook, John McIrvin, said, my life is a hollow shell without Home and Away.
Oh, same, John, same.
Same, feel you. Deborah said, it's great to have you back. You've been missed. Jamie said, Happy Flaming New Year.
Love it.
And Paula says, yay, you're flaming galah. How could you have had a break for so long? So, yeah. Totally feel that. Glad to see everyone that's missed it so much. Sylvia says, missed you, glad you're back. There was loads of comments like this, which was really nice to see. But what do people think about the show? Right, so the Home and Away page on Facebook, they did post a video of Justin and Leah in peril.
Yeah.
And basically said, you know, how in peril do you think they are? Do you think they're going to survive? What do you think, guys? You know, is Justin going to survive? Is Leah going to survive? What do you think people were saying?
Yeah, we already know.
Kind of. There were a few where they're like, yeah, I watch it Oz pace, so I already know what's going to happen. But I was kind of like, not surprised, but kind of, I felt good reading these comments, because there were lots of people saying, no way. There's no way Justin's going to die. So Sarah said, Justin's indestructible. Everything he's been through in the past, he's not going to die. Haley called him the Terminator. Haley was like, Justin's the Terminator. He's going to survive.
I'll be back.
Louise said, I'm starting to think Justin is invincible. The amount of times he's recovered in hospital. He has. He's been stabbed. He's been all sorts in the past. He's been through the pain medication stuff. He's been crossbow legged. Everything, Justin.
I bet his insurance is through the blooming roof.
It probably is life insurance. Madness. So lots of people saying, there's, you know, they're in peril, but we don't really believe anything's going to happen to them. Mr. David on Twitter said, Justin's indestructible until he marries Leah, and then he's toast.
Hey, that's true. We all held our breath when she proposed to him.
I was like, well, he's fucked now. It's frogs. And in fact, talking about Leah, Naomi on Facebook has a little poem for us, which I will read you. Very short poem. It says, if you have a death wish, get with Leah. If you enjoy living, then stay clear. I just thought that was hilarious.
Should have that on your bumper.
I think someone should like crochet that, or like sew it into something for Justin to carry around and remind himself.
Gonna be on the next.
Do you want to live? Yes. A badge. We need a pin badge with that on, don't we? Mm-hmm. Something. Yeah. Bumper sticker. Something like that. Mr. David on Twitter also said Leah's a survivor. She was impaled in February, and then she was on her way to Cyprus 2 weeks later. So she's not going to go anywhere.
I mean, she needed a holiday after that.
She did. She did. Quite so soon, I wasn't sure about. But yeah, she did need a holiday. So I think there's lots of people that weren't convinced that, you know, either were going to perish in the factory.
It's not our first season, then, cliffhanger.
No, No, exactly. Exactly. Lots of people were praising the storyline, actually. So there was a lot of discussion about the Leah and Justin storyline. Some of it was hilarious, you know, like we've talked about earlier in the pod, Julie saying, you know, Leah looks like she's been eating donuts and she's still got icing around her face. Lots of people mentioning Leah's eyelashes, her makeup and her nails were all intact, and yet she got a really dirty jumper. You know, we take the piss, don't we? Because that's what we do, and we know it's everything. I think Joe Lauren on Twitter said something like, I'm watching Home and Away and I feel the need to grab some lip balm or something as well. So
that's part of being a soap fan. You do sort of
piss
it, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, we love it because it's over the top. But there was a lot of praise for these episodes as well. So people were saying that they enjoyed the performance, they enjoyed the peril, even though they knew it wasn't really going to be peril. You know, it was high drama. It was a nice different location to look at. It was something different. So, you know, generally speaking, I think there was quite a lot of praise for these episodes.
And I tell you, you're right. You know, we've not once questioned the performance at all. We've never... No. You know, even if we've been laughing at it a bit.
Yeah.
And I'll say as well, like, I've written it down, the director, Arnie Custo, directed these episodes.
Yeah.
How amazing did they look? Like, they were cinematic. Like,
yes. Yeah.
And you can imagine how hard it is on the time constraints, the budgetary constraints of a soap opera. I mean...
Yeah. Yeah.
We are so lucky that these people are so good at what they do. We really are.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's lots of behind the scenes stuff as well that's been posted on social media. So the Home and Away account on Facebook, Instagram and on Twitter as well have posted behind the scenes clips of the whole Justin and Leah ordeal.
Checking them out after this then.
Yeah, videos, pictures of their stunt doubles and all sorts. You know, this was a big thing. The whole set, we were told by Marty that works on the show, Marty's an editor on the show, but luckily for some reason also listened to our podcast, thanks Marty. He messaged us before Christmas, didn't he, and said this was a made set, so the factory is a real building.
Yeah,
but the inside shots that we saw was all built for the scenes, so the whole set that Leah and Justin were in was all built. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? Because we know the permanent sets that they've got, there's not a huge number of those. And we do have a lot of temporary sets. So to have a whole set built for like what was 2 or 3 episodes is just nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's money.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, let's face it, not all soaps are willing to spend.
No.
We're really lucky with location shooting and things on Home and Away. We get loads. We do.
Definitely. Yeah, it's good to see. People like to see that. It's something different, isn't it, to look at and everything. So lots and lots and lots of praise for this storyline. Thankfully, I think it went down pretty well.
Sounds like it.
Very good. So that was Leah and Justin in a nutshell. I'm trying to get through these quickly because we've got so much to talk about. So apologies if your comment hasn't been read out. But we've got so much to cover. So the next topic, only a few tweets about this, a few comments about this, was Flick and Tane. So I went and had a look on Facebook. They shared a video, I think, on the Home and Away account of Flick and Tane, and I think it was her taking her contraceptives in the, you know, in the salt cupboard, and on the sly. And there was a few people commented on that. So Flick and Tane, Bavner said, "Oh no, I definitely hadn't missed her over Christmas." not a fan of Flick. Mason had quite an interesting comment because I thought this was a bit cutting, really, but then Mason said, "I know and I pray that she actually does get pregnant, because we all know that contraceptive is not 100% effective and that would be her karma." And I was like, and part of me was like, oh, I don't know, because having a child is such, like I said on the main podcast earlier, having a child is such a big thing. You shouldn't be calling a child karma. It feels wrong to call it that. But also, if she did get pregnant, it would be an interesting twist, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For us as a viewer. So I was like, oh, I'm not sure how I feel about that. But yeah, I can see where Mason's coming from. Samantha says, "Get rid of Felicity. She doesn't deserve Tane." And Gina says, "What a despicable thing that she's doing." It is pretty despicable.
Okay. Okay, so people are sort of coming down on Tane's side a little bit. If, you know, not sort of wanting to pick sides, but yeah, they're empathizing with him more.
Yeah,
interesting.
I've not seen many comments saying Tane is, you know, because I think we talked about it on the main episode, didn't we? Tane is going into this with, he's seeing what he wants to see. He knows deep down that she's not really interested in having kids. He knows that he's kind of manipulated her into changing her mind by saying, well, you change your mind about other things. You could change your mind about having a kid. You know, if we don't have a kid, this is a really big deal for me. I don't know how I feel about the relationship. But he's had that, all those conversations where he was like, I'm not sure if this was the right thing to do. Us being together, not sure if that's the right thing, what I want. If I can't have a child, I don't know how I'm going to get past this. He has kind of guilted her into it. I just don't think anybody's really talking about that at the moment. Maybe it'll come later.
Yeah, it's early doors, I suppose. But yeah, that's just interesting. I mean, obviously, we've sort of given a bit of a balance both sides, haven't we?
Yeah.
And can see it from both ways. It's interesting, though, that because these are more likely to be people's guts.
Yeah, your gut reaction is... Flick's doing the bad thing. I mean, I think it was AJ on Twitter that said that they felt bad for Tane and Flick, but mainly for Tane because she was leading him on and getting his hopes up, and she should have just been honest with him from the start about not wanting kids. And I thought, well, she was honest, but I think he is just seeing what he wants to see, and he is just believing that this is another Flickism, like she's just changed her mind overnight, and he's just buying it because that's what he wants.
Yeah. I wonder as well if there's a bit of like Flick's a bit Marmite, isn't she, in the fans? It's like there's definitely a camp that's like, she's annoying, she's selfish.
Yes.
I agree,
but I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think that's just part of her and
her
not being a one-dimensional character, her having flaws, you know, because Marley for me is very one-dimensional because there isn't much to him, but Flick's far more interesting because she has got these flaws and she has got faults and she is selfish and she is self-obsessed and she is annoying and she does flip-flop between things, but it makes her more interesting to watch than Marley and Rose and other people.
Absolutely. But I wonder if this is clouding people's judgment.
Oh, yeah.
To, you know, what's going on in this storyline, because this storyline is sticky at best, as I said.
Definitely.
It's not all Flick, is it? Why is she a demon, you know?
Yeah,
you know, there's more. It's more complex than that. If and how these comments change as we go through.
Oh, absolutely, because I think this is going to go on for a while, isn't it? And essentially, I think you're right. It's a popularity contest because Tane is more popular than Flick is.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So of course, everyone's siding with Tane at the moment. Is that going to, like you say, is that going to stick, or is this storyline going to develop in a way that maybe Flick gets more empathy later on? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, won't we?
I'm uncomfortable just thinking about it.
Oof. I know. Oh, God. I don't think they needed this right now. I think they needed a break, but this is where we are. Just go with it. The next topic is, where is Marley's spine? Where is it? What has he done with his spine? So Katrina on Facebook says, Marley needs to grow a pair and tell What's-Her-Face to go home and sort her problems out. She's a manipulative little madam. If he really loves Rose, he would be helping the other girl pack and waving her off. LOL. Katrina, you took the words out of our mouth. Absolutely.
Come on.
Yeah, come on, come and tell us what you think. Sue Carter is very, very disappointed with Marley. Says he needs to man up. I've gone right off him for doing this to Rose. Gosh. Yeah, right off him. Michaela says, get rid of Zara. I can't stand her. that he says Marley is such a wuss.
You just would not, you just wouldn't be with somebody like that, would you, who's not willing to stick up for you?
No, absolutely not. Everyone's saying it. So Sue Edwards said, dump him, Rose, he's a pathetic mommy's boy. But basically, I mean, they're not sort of mincing their words on how they feel about him. Caroline made me laugh. Caroline on Facebook said, what a gormless chap he is. I love it. And Margaret said, Marley is such a wimpy mummy's boy and seems totally unaware that his chosen bride is a scheming little hussy. Why would Rose want to be with someone so dim? Yeah.
Oh,
I can't agree with you more. David on Twitter said, bored of this promised wife storyline. What does everyone see in Marley? He is about as much fun as a wet Tuesday.
Hear, hear.
Absolutely. I love these comments. I love it when people are like, don't hold back. It's so funny. Julie on Twitter said, he's such a pushover. Glad Mac is back. She'll stand no messing from Zara. And then there's a few people.
Your problem.
Absolutely. That was so good. Such a good line. There's a few people on Twitter that are speculating what we were talking about earlier about Zara and Xander hooking up. So Geraldine said, Zara and Xander should get together. Problem solved. Laughing emoji. And then AJ.
I hope that's sarcastic, Geraldine.
I think so. AJ on Twitter also says, don't tell me Xander is going to be Marley's ex's new love interest. Roll the eye face. And then a face palm emoji. I think there's something there, isn't there? Because they had that little heart to heart. So he gave her a serve, didn't he? And said, like, you're doing the wrong thing. What you did last night when you gate crashed the dinner was wrong. You're a bad un. If you had anything about you, leave them alone. Mind your own business. You're not going to get any information out of me. I know what you're doing. He did that whole conversation with her, didn't he? And then she was like, oh, but I'm this poor lonely girl that's got nothing in her life. And Rose has got everything and Marley's got everything and I've got nothing. And then Xander was like, oh, poor Zara. And I was like, oh, please. Oh, God.
I know, I was the same. Eye roll emoji. I bet he takes her up that loaf of bread. You can't be asked going out to get her.
Oh, no. And you've got no bread. Get some of your own. She's got no money, has she? She was a student, but now she's quit uni. She's got no income. She's got no job. She's got nothing. She can't even afford a loaf of bread. Oh, this girl. This girl. I don't know. But yeah, no one's buying it. No one's buying the poor me routine, which is interesting. We'll have to see again. Because I don't think she's actually going anyway. Even though she's been told to rack off by several people now. Mac, Xander, Rose, Marley. Even Marley has told her to rack off now, but she's still here and I don't think she's going anywhere soon. So I'll have to see if the comments are still anti-Zara or if anybody starts to see a good side of her, like Xander seems to be seeing. I'm not sure. Next topic of conversation is Rue's a dickhead and Irene's a legend. we knew this, didn't we?
Say no more.
Say no more. I don't even need to read the comments out, do I? I just love this. So Jamie on Twitter, he really makes me laugh with some of his tweets anyway, but these ones really crack me up. So Jamie said, I wish you a happy new year, Rue, but I won't mean it. And then that was followed with, Rue is a proper dickhead. She really is. Jamie, you're spot on. She really is a dickhead. David was slightly less, offensive with his tweeting, but he said, Georgie Parker, I love you, but Rue, you're a knob. In fact, David's got a solution. David says, lock her in a caravan until Alf makes her see sense. I think that's a good idea, actually. Yeah. That's what she needs.
No bread or water.
Yeah.
Donut lips incoming.
See how you like it. These are real problems now.
I don't think any of the caravans are accessibility ones anyway.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, she's still got a frame, hasn't she? Yeah. Lock her in a room then. Lock her in the tumble dryer room. tumble dryer room off the kitchen. What came in there? I don't know. But lots of comments like this. So lots of comments obviously saying that Rue's just despicable. Despicable Rue. And Irene is great. So go, Rini. Love Irene telling Marilyn and Rue where to grow. About time. That was Nicola on Facebook. And lots and lots and lots of comments saying the same thing. So I think we're on the same page there with everybody, aren't we, really, about...
I love Irene.
Yeah, yeah, Irene's a legend. She's our soap legend. She was robbed. She was robbed of the... Uh-huh. Uh-huh. We do, for anybody that's not in the know, we do a battle versus the Neighbourhood Rewatch podcast boys, JK and Adam. We've got another episode coming out very, very soon on this. The battle is continuing. But we had a battle recently of soap legend, and we pitted Irene, didn't we, as our soap legend, and she just lost out. And she was robbed.
Madness. She was robbed. And she speaks for the people. She told Rue what we've all wanted to.
Absolutely. She started 2024 off on a high. So don't mess with Rini.